Every morning, the world flung itself over and exposed the town to the sun. So Janie had another day, and every day had a store in it, except Sundays. The store itself was a pleasant place, if only she didn't have to sell things. When the people sat around on the porch and passed around the pictures of their thoughts for the others to look at and see, it was nice. The fact that the thought pictures were always crayon enlargements of life made it even nicer to listen to. Take, for instance, the case of Matt Bonner's Yellow Mule. They had him up for conversation every day the Lord sent, most especial if Matt was there himself to listen. Sam and Lige and Walter were the ringleaders of the mule talkers. The others threw in whatever they could chance upon. But it seemed as if Sam and Lige and Walter could hear and see more about that mule than the whole county put together. All they needed was to see Matt's long, spare shape coming down the street, and by the time he got to the porch, they were ready for him. "Hello, Matt."
"Evening, Sam."
"Mighty glad you come along right now, Matt. Me and some others were just about to come hunt you."
"What for, Sam?"
"Mighty serious matter, man, serious." "Yeah, man," Lige would cut in dolefully. "It needs your strict attention. You ought not to lose no time."
"What is it then? You ought to hop and tell me."
"Reckon we better not tell you here in the store. It's too far off to do any good. We better all walk on down by Lake Sebelia."
"What's wrong, man? I ain't after none of y'all's foolishness now."
"That mule of yourn, Matt. You better go see about him. He's bad off."
"Whereabouts? Did he wade in the lake and an alligator catch him?"
"Worse than that, the women folks got your mule. When I come round the lake about noontime, my wife and some others had him flat on the ground, using his sides for a washboard." The great clap of laughter that they had been holding in bursts out. Sam never cracks a smile.
"Yeah, Matt, that mule's so skinny that the women is using his rib bones for a rub board and hanging things out on his hock bones to dry."
Matt realizes that they have tricked him again, and the laughter makes him mad. And when he gets mad, he stammers.
"You's a stinking lie, Sam, and your feet ain't mates.
Oh, man, they're no using you getting mad. You know you don't feed the mule. How are you going to get fat?"
"Does feed him. I give him a full cup of corn every feeding."
"Lige knows all about that cup of corn. He hid around your barn and watched you. Tain't no feed cup you measures that corn out of. It's a teacup."
"I does feed him. He just too mean for to get fat. He stay poor and raw bony just for spite. He's scared he'll have to work some."
"Yeah, you feeds him. Feed him off a come up and season it with rawhide."
"Does feed the ornery varmint. Don't care what I do, I can't get along with him. He fights every inch in front of the plow and even lay back his ears to kick and bite when I go into the stall to feed him."
"Get reconciled, Matt," Lige soothed. "Us all knows he's mean. I seen him when he took after one of them robbers chilling in the street and would have caught him and maybe trampled him to death if the wind hadn't changed all of a sudden. You see, the young'un was trying to make it to the fence of Starks' onion patch, and the mule was dead in behind him and gaining on him every jump. When all of a sudden, the wind changed and blowed the mule way off his course, him being so poor and everything, and before the ornery varmint could tack, the young'un had done got over the fence." The porch laughed, and Matt got mad again.
"Maybe the mule takes out after everybody," Sam said, "'cause he thinks everybody he hear coming is Matt Bonner coming to work him on an empty stomach." Oh, no, 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 no. You stop that right now, Walter objected. That mule don't think I look like no Matt Bonner. He ain't that dumb. If I thought he didn't know no better, I'd have my pixie took and give it to that mule so she could learn better. I ain't gonna allow him to hold nothing like that against me. Matt struggled to say something, but his tongue failed him, so he jumped down off the porch and walked away as mad as he could be. But that never halted the mule talk. There would be more stories about how poor the brute was, his age, his evil disposition, and his latest caper. Everybody indulged in mule talk. He was next to the mayor in prominence and made better talking. Janie loved the conversation, and sometimes she thought up good stories on the mule. But Joe had forbidden her to indulge. He didn't want her talking after such trashy people. Use Mrs. Mayor Starks, Janie. My God, I can't see what a woman of your stability would want to be treasuring all that gum grease from folks that don't even own the house they sleep in. Tain't no earthly use. There's just some puny humans playing round the toes of time. Janie noted that while he didn't talk the mule himself, he sat and laughed at it. Laughed his big laugh, too. But then when Lige or Sam or Walter or some of the other big picture talkers were using a side of the world for a canvas, Joe would hustle her off inside the store to sell something. Looked like he took pleasure in doing it. Why couldn't he go himself sometimes? She had come to hate the inside of that store anyway. That post office, too. People always coming and asking for mail at the wrong time. Just when she was trying to count up something or write in an account book. Get her so hackled, she'd make the wrong change for stamps. Then, too, she couldn't read everybody's writing. Some folks wrote so funny and spelt things different from what she knew about. As a rule, Joe put up the mail himself, but sometimes when he was off, she had to do it herself, and it always ended up in a fuss. The store itself kept her with a sick headache. The labor of getting things down off of a shelf or out of a barrel was nothing, and so long as people wanted only a can of tomatoes or a pound of rice, it was all right. But supposing they went on and said, a pound and a half of bacon and a half pound of lard. The whole thing changed from a little walking and stretching to a mathematical dilemma. Or maybe cheese was 37 cents a pound and somebody came and asked for a dime's worth. She went through many silent rebellions over things like that. Such a waste of life and time. But Joe kept saying that she could do it if she wanted to, and he wanted her to use her privileges. That was the rock she was battered against.